Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
Joe Drev, I'm a lieutenant paramedic for Norfolk Fire Rescue. It's a city in Virginia. Started this about 14 years ago. Before that, I was actually a teacher for about 6 years, 7 years. And then I went into something different when my son was born. And I looked at firefighting, found this out, and I love it ever since. Done a lot of different things in my career that I'm sure we'll go over as the questions come. But anything that comes up, I'll walk you through it.
So. Absolutely. Thank you so much. And guys, you guys who are here live on this, go ahead and continue messaging your questions to me in the chat. But some of these got sent to me ahead of time and they wanted to know, what kind of training did you go through to become a vessel operations pilot for the fireboat?
All right. So to be a firefighter, I'll start there. To be a firefighter, the first thing you got to do is you go through an academy. So when you first get hired, I got hired with no experience as an EMT, no experience anywhere with that or any fire experience. So there was about an 8 month period where Monday through Friday, I went to what they call the academy, and you learned all that stuff for EMS. And then you learned all the stuff for fire, and you went through burning buildings, and you went through dragging people out, and you worked with your SCBA on your face and all that kind of stuff. After all that, I'll make that short because I'll get to the question. After all that, you go to the street. There are two fire stations in the city of Norfolk that have boats of them, and that's the vessel operation pilot that you were talking about, because Norfolk, Virginia is by the Chesapeake Bay, so we go out there a lot of times for stranded sailboats, other people in distress, so we'll go kind of rescue them, and you need to know how to work this boat, not to mention the fact that it has a fire pump on it, and the fire pump is capable of taking seawater in the bottom and spraying it out the different discharges of the boat. So you got to learn how to use that properly. So it's actually a book that we've created in the city, and you go through each page, and on each page, it'll say different things. One will be operating the pump so you can learn how to spray water. One will be looking at the sonar so you can pick up people that might be trapped in the dark or other things that might be at the bottom of the ocean. And all of that over the course of a couple months, you'll get certified to be a vessel operations pilot, meaning if a boat call comes out, you'll actually put usually you're on what's called the ladder truck. So it's those big trucks that you've seen, the fire trucks with the ladders on top. They'll put that out of service. You'll hop on your boat, and then you'll go about out of the marina and trying to find out. But that's how you become a vessel operations pilot. You follow through on a book that's been created that covers all the things you might need to know.
Great answer. We have a question from Paris, France. Sasha, you can unmute to ask your question. You had a good question.
Hello. So I wanted to know, what is one advice you give to someone who is young and want to become a firefighter?
That's a great question, Sasha. The best thing to do if you want to become a firefighter as you grow up is, one, just finish school, because every road to firefighting starts with finishing school. But as you go through school, you're going to find out that there's a lot of stuff that deals with firefighting that school doesn't highlight, or there's some courses in school, like my son's in high school and he goes right now to classes that are actually directed towards firefighting. So as you go through school, one, you're probably going to need to know some background in some medical stuff. So biology and stuff like that is going to be important to learn, because usually fire has something to do with EMS. It might not be like Norfolk where they have all EMS where you're also medic as well, but they will usually be first responders, meaning any emergency, you'll show up first. But as you go through school, pay attention to what your school is offering, and pay attention to the state of technology with firefighting. Just the internet is a great resource for that. Videos, you'll see helmet cams. Some firefighters put cameras on their helmets, and you'll actually see them going into fires and doing that. So that'll stoke your interest. But just keep an eye on the latest updates. And there's websites that specifically talk about fire training. And all of those things will help you get through school. And then once you become a firefighter, look at all the neighboring areas around you, because there's big city fire departments, and there's small city fire departments, and then there's volunteer fire departments. So you can join any one of those as soon as you turn. I know around us, it's as soon as you turn 16 with parents' permission, or 18, you can start joining the volunteer departments first too. And that will give you a taste of whether or not you're going to enjoy this job or whether it's something you want to pursue.
That's great. That's such a cool resource. We have a question from Davinia in Madrid, Spain. You can unmute to ask, my friend. Go ahead.
Hi, my question is,
If were you scared about taking the risks of your job, and why or why not?
Thank you, Davinia. Yes, that is a great question. And yes, it is definitely one where you have to really think about it because there are certain risks to this job. And every year, unfortunately, firefighters do get seriously injured or sometimes killed in the line of duty. So I evaluated that. I had a young family when I first got in. And what made me okay with it is as I went through the academy, obviously you don't start with any threatening situations. So as I went through the academy, I constantly evaluated and reevaluated whether it was something I wanted to continue. So you get trained on all the equipment, you get trained on all the procedures, and as you go through it all, you then make a decision: do I feel confident to go into this building that's on fire, or do I feel confident going underground to this pipe where someone's trapped? And by the end of my training, I felt confident that I wasn't going to make any decision that would put my life in jeopardy without really knowing how to best operate that and limit the possibility of actually injury or danger. So it's a constant reevaluation, and that still actually happens today. With every call that I go on, I have to stop and look at the situation. And as you get more experience, you learn different situations where you might want to stay back from, and other situations where you feel safe and you feel confident because you've done this before. So, great question. And it's actually an ongoing process, but the Fire Academy was the first time I really started thinking about whether I was okay to take these risks.
Great answer and great question. One of the kids messaged me and they wanted to know, how did it feel to be named Firefighter of the Year?
Oh, well, I was honored. I was honored. And the best answer I can say about that is that I was honored because the specifics of it is I was actually at a meeting. And right as I was leaving the meeting, right next door is a Walmart, big store. And a call came in for someone who was unconscious. And I was right there. So I literally walked through the doors at the moment that a woman had just fallen down. And it turns out that her heart had stopped and she was in cardiac arrest. So I started CPR and we started getting things. And then I called on the radio to the units that were already en route saying, hey, this is a cardiac arrest. And through CPR and through their efforts when they first got there, she was able to live. And she actually walked out of the hospital about a week later. And to this day, we still see her around the city and she thanks us. That is what earned me Firefighter of the Year, specifically amongst other smaller attributes. But that was the big thing that contributed to that. And I think it's important to follow up with that is that the firefighters on the street in your own city do this every day. It just so happened that mine was perfect timing where it was recognized by the citizens, by the people around, and that gave me a little extra with some of the things I'm doing other places in my job to get me that. But I was honored to get it. But I always like to use the opportunity to let everyone know that firefighters and paramedics and EMTs around you are doing the things just as heroic every single day. Every day, these people do things that deserves Firefighter of the Year ranking. So I was just fortunate enough to get recognized for that. Thank you.
Wonderful and congratulations and thank you for your service. We have a question from
Yes.
Tana. Apologize if I mispronounced your name. Go ahead and ask your question.
What are your steps to follow when there's an emergency?
All right, Tana, that's a great question. So actually, every emergency actually has something called, we call them standard operating procedures, meaning it won't ever cover every emergency, but like a structure fire, there's actually like a 30-page document that we need to read, and it will tell us structure fires call for this. So every time someone calls and says, hey, my house is on fire, or the neighbor's house is on fire, we'll get something assigned where it'll be like three fire engines with the pumpers go. One ladder truck goes, one rescue company goes, one medic goes, and one chief goes, and they all go and they all have a certain job to do. So that's for fires. And then every EMS call that you go on, whether it's a heart attack, whether it's a I'll say anaphylactic reaction, an allergic reaction that's serious, any breathing problems. Every one of our calls has some kind of format to follow. So medical calls will be like, give this medication if you see this, give this medication if you see this. So it walks us through what we're going to do. But everything starts with one person in command. So when a lot of units come, like if it's a big unit and they have like different fire engines, different ladder trucks, different chiefs coming, whoever shows up first is called something called command. So they say, You know, I'm on scene and I'm going to assume command and now I'm in charge. And then as the chief comes, as someone higher ranking than you comes, they take over. But they always follow that same set of steps that we've established in the department to handle every emergency. And then when we get an emergency that has something that we don't have any plans written for or standard operating procedures written for, that's when the chief really has to do his job and think outside the box and give everyone a job. And everyone has to kind of work together to mitigate the hazard or end whatever is going on. So,
There's a lot of steps, man. You don't really think of that. That's wild.
yeah.
Well, we have a question from Damien in France. Damien, go ahead and ask.
Hello, I was wondering what is the most gratifying things in your job?
Great question, Damien. So, honestly, the most gratifying thing is when you can actually see a life saved or a difference made in these people's lives. So, there's nothing better than going to someone whose heart was actually stopped and you get a pulse back at the hospital, and then you go and see that person a couple weeks later and they're alive and you know that you had a played a part in that. That's the top. Being there for people that have simple problems too. Sometimes it's not even a medical emergency. Sometimes it's just something, an elderly person that needs some help around the house that you can able to do. But really, it's the gratitude that you see in the people's lives that you've improved. Like being able to help someone else is probably the best thing that you can get satisfaction wise in life, with being able to work with your fellow man to serve these people and to let them know that you're there for them and accept it, that they're real appreciative of what you can do for them. So I think the gratifying thing is just every time you make a positive impact on someone else's life, because that's what this is all about.
You're like a superhero, bringing people back.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. But I'm thankful for what we're able to do.
Maria from Spain, you can unmute and ask. You had a cool question.
Okay, so my question is, did you do sports since you were a child? And even if you did, there's a serious physical test for a firefighter. My question is if you had to go through a process of physical preparation to take it. And if so, I wanted to ask if you have any strong work ethics that helped you carve your way there.
Great question, Maria. So yes, I did play sports. I did learn to push myself at a younger age, playing all different kinds of sports growing up. But I will tell you that if becoming a firefighter will push you in ways that you cannot prepare yourself for until you're in it. Because as you know, if you're going to a fire, you can't just go in wearing what I'm wearing now. We have different, they call it bunker gear in the US, but it's heavy gear that helps keep the heat out and any liquids out. There's a vapor barrier, and then there's a flame barrier, flame retardant barrier. So it's three layers of clothing that cover you head to toe so that no skin is showing, obviously. And that increases your body temperature greatly. So the second you start doing anything in that, it's like nothing else. It's like putting on all your winter coats, running outside in the middle of the summer, and putting a mask on your face so that you can't necessarily breathe fresh air. You have to breathe out of a bottle on your back. So when you do that, there's really nothing like it physically wise on this earth without actually getting in a hot environment with lots of clothes on. But endurance and learning how to push your body to the point where you didn't think you could do it, but being confident that it will actually, your body will raise to the level you put it to. So it's consistently working out would be the best thing I could say. Consistently just pushing yourself to where you feel like exhausted, but you can finish it. And because it's also in your mind, you have to train your mind in situations to be able to keep your heart rate as low as it could be. Because if I go into a burning building and I'm freaking out, I'm already kind of behind where I need to be physiologically because my heart's beating really fast because I'm all excited. And then I have to go start doing work. And it's really hard for your body to keep up with that. But if you learn to keep your nerves under control, then your any kind of exercise that you do to help with that will also help keep you ready to act and react in a fire.
Great answer. All right. So we will go with two more student questions. Is that all right?
That's fine with me.
Right, cool. So one of the kids they had emailed and they wanted to know with over 500 personnel in your department, how do you guys build strong communication and trust among your team?
That's a great question. Yeah. So with that many people in a department, it's true. It is a large department and it's growing every day because there's different jobs that need to be filled. So they're constantly are expanding. But it all comes down to the fact that the way our job works is we have three shifts in operations, meaning the people that cover the streets and go on the engines. There's an A shift, a B shift, and a C shift. So there's three different shifts. And when you come to work, you work for 24 hours. So you come at 7 o'clock in the morning and you leave at 7 o'clock in the morning the next day. So when you're at that fire station with anywhere from 6 to 14 other guys or women, they are your family. So you are close with the people you're stationed with, and then you also have to go to other stations for higher backs if you get overtime, or if they're short, or if you have too many people at your station, they'll fill you in somewhere. So you get really close with the people on your shift because you see them every day, and you go to these life-changing situations, these traumatic situations every day with these people. So the best way to build it is one common goal to better serve the citizens. And then when you're in the firehouse, we usually have lunch and dinner together. So one person will pay for lunch. Everyone will pay in the morning, and one person will cook lunch and dinner for you. So you put some money in the morning. They cook you lunch and they cook you dinner, and then we all come together and we eat lunch and dinner. Now that usually gets broken up with a call for somebody, but that's kind of how we build unity between us. We do a lot of stuff together and training together as well.
That's great. We have our final student question. This is Sasha in France. Sasha, you can unmute to ask.
Yes, so I wanted to know how does it feel when you do like your first fire, if you're stressed or scared or excited for it?
Yes. When you go to your first fire, yes, it will be something you never forget. I can remember mine. It was actually on New Year's Eve that we were out going to the store to get some food for the day to cook, and a call came out for a fire, and I can remember pulling up. And yes, I talked about how you have to keep your heart from racing so much, but when it's your first fire, your heart is going to race and you're going to be nervous. That's when you rely. Usually you get your first fire early in your career. If you're in the city of Norfolk, there's a lot of buildings and they're close together, so fires happen somewhat frequently. So usually you'll get it relatively early in your career. The good thing is you're not alone on that fire truck. There's three other firefighters with you, and one of them is going to be an officer or an acting officer, meaning they've had enough experience where they're leading you and telling you what to do. So when it's your first time going to your first fire, you have a lot of guidance. So these people that you work with, well, even though your heart's racing a million miles an hour and you're scared and you're excited, you're all that, you kind of rely on those people next to you, kind of like what we were talking about the last question with family and unity. You rely on those people to kind of walk you through what you're going to do. And then as you get a couple years in, you then turn into that person that walks other people through their first fire. But yes, a first fire is excitement, fear, all rolled into one great moment. And then when you do get through it, you can kind of, everyone sits back, takes pictures. I remember I got pictures from one of my first fires where one of the senior guys was like, "Let me get a picture of you with your first fire," so with the crew we were with. So yes, it's a great moment. And you can rely on the people around you to walk you through it, keep you safe through it. So
That's cool. So the final question I ask is of all of our guests, is there any advice? So you're an award-winning fire lieutenant paramedic. Is there any advice that you can give to these kids as they go off to the next chapter of their lives, whether they want to do fire sciences or something completely different?
yeah, I mean, the best advice I can give is find what you love and then be passionate about it. Look into it because this life's going to offer you a lot of distractions, and most of them are not very fulfilling. But when you find that thing in your life that's good and it gives you that fulfillment inside, follow that because that is what's really going to make the difference in your life so that you can love your job, you can love going through your life, you can love going to work every day, and you can love other parts of your life. So find that thing that works for you and gives you that fulfillment. A lot of the stuff that the world has to offer is usually pretty empty. So find the stuff that really brings you that fulfillment inside. And that's my best piece of advice that I can give you guys. Yeah, I appreciate you guys tuning in. It was great to see the people here and hear the questions. Great questions. Great
Thank you.
questions.
Thank you so much. Now, before I end the meeting for all, traditionally, I'll allow everyone to unmute. And can we all say thank you to Fire Lieutenant Paramedic Joseph Draft for taking the time out of the day? Thank you so
Thank
much, Joseph.
you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much.
Thank you.